Hi, welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast, Fertile at 40. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. After many health complications due to alcohol addiction and an eating disorder that ruled my world for close to 20 years, I was told I would never have children. At 38, I naturally and surprisingly fell pregnant, and the transition from maiden to mother was wrought with love, grief, excitement, and healing. Becoming a mama was about far more than just soothing stitches and learning how to care for a tiny human. It was, and still is, a relearning of who I am and what I am truly capable of. After over two challenging years trying to conceive a second baby since, I gratefully and naturally conceived my second child just as I turned 41, after three losses and heaps of heartache. I am a doula in training, holistic chef, teacher of yoga, and a childbirth educator, and I am here to share my story because I know it's not just mine. Join me each week for unbiased convos with a no-bullshit approach to faith, infertility, conscious conception, and connected pregnancy, with birth stories, expert interviews, and personal anecdotes to help tell the story of creation. Welcome. Now let's do this. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Fertile at 40 Podcast. This week on the show, I have an amazing guest by the name of Kirsten B. Ford. She is a ceremonialist and Ayurvedic wellness coach. Her mission, this Mrs. Mission, sorry, I just had a baby. Her mission is to create safe spaces for women to return to themselves and witness their divine potential through ceremony, supporting sisters through conscious conception, pregnancy, and postpartum healing. Can I get a hallelujah? Today on the episode, we dive deep into the importance of ritual for transversing rites of passage and big transitions in our lives. As a side note, Kirsten also dishes about what it was like to work alongside John Hamm, swoon much, in the final season of Mad Men, which is really, really a fun fact about her. So you're going to want to listen in and hear about that. So without further ado, I'm going to get into this conversation. Here is today's episode with Kirsten B. Ford. One last thing before we get into the conversation, I want to remind you that this podcast provides general information and discussion about natural medicine, health, pregnancy, and childbirth related subjects. The content here should not be taken as medical advice, and the content here is for informational purposes only, and because each person is so unique, please consult with your healthcare professional for any medical questions. Now, on with the show. Hello, Kirsten. Welcome to Fertile at 40 Podcast. I'm so excited to have you.
So happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
I have just loved following you. I've loved as we have weaved our short time knowing each other virtually over the last little while, working to get this meeting underway with our lives as mothers and working in this amazing realm of space holding for women and in their transitions through life into the rite of passages. I'm so excited to have you here. Why don't we start by just having you really let the listeners know who you are and who you're helping in the world these days.
Well, so thank you so much for being here. My name's Kirsten. As you mentioned, I am a ceremonialist and an Ayurvedic wellness coach. My work in ceremony is slowing down and bringing sanctity to really big moments in life. I work primarily with women through transitions like motherhood, but I also work with women as they're trying to conceive or before they're trying to conceive, that really potent period of preconception, often making a connection with their soul baby for the first time and opening themselves up as a channel and a vessel for that divine communication. I work with women during pregnancy, doing mother blessings and baby blessings, which are ceremonies that honor the mother, but also honor the life of the baby. So some women are more drawn to those specific ceremonies, one more than the other. And then I also have postpartum ceremonies that I host as well. They're specifically for closing the door on that liminal space. The experience of birth is so big and so magnificent that there really needs to be a ceremony that closes that rite of passage, the transition and the initiation that is giving birth, it really deserves a moment afterward to reflect back on your journey, as well as be witnessed by your community, which is a huge part of rite of passages. In Indigenous cultures and in throughout history, there are three stages to these, and that is to rites of passage. And the first is preparation. The second is the actual initiation. And the third is the integration period, being received by your community and being seen in this new role for who you were and who you transitioned to be as you are still becoming and becoming and becoming. As we know, motherhood definitely is a constant becoming. So it's been a huge privilege to be able to offer these ceremonies to women at various stages of their parenthood journey. And then I weave in Ayurveda and ancient medicine, as well as some more Western stuff like somatic healing and various forms of therapy in that way, all for the purpose of bringing you back into your body, back into the present moment, so that you recognize that you are very much a spiritual being, having a very much having a physical experience, and that both of those matter. And that both of them need to have the space to breathe and be. So that's what I do now.
Wow. So much to unpack and so much I want to touch on there. Let's talk a little bit about how you got into all of this work, because you are a mother, and a lot of us that we end up working in this world to support other mothers, I mean that's a big part of it, moving through these rite of passages ourselves. But I would love to hear from you a little bit more about your background and what brought you to this particular type of work as a ceremonialist.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I grew up very, very deep in the creative arts. So I was dancing and singing and acting. And so when I moved to LA, it was for the purpose of acting. And I did that for just shy of 10 years. I still have my foot in that door a little bit, but I know that the healing arts is really where is my dharma. That's the purpose for me being here. Everything else I get to do that's creative is just like icing. But after being in the industry for a while, I realized that there was a part of me that felt subjugated and objectified, and I was really unhappy, but I didn't know it. Not in the way that I understand happiness now, which is really just an honesty with myself. So 2018, I found a tumor on my thyroid and it shook me. I faced my death. I faced feelings of abandonment from God and just the life that I constructed and thought that I was having and wanted. Everything was unraveled. I went into the butterfly chrysalis and then walked my way through the shadow of, or the valley of darkness. And I was reborn on the other side. And I realized that I really wanted to help create safe spaces for women. And then when I became a mother, so after that surgery, I dove into teaching yoga and sound and led sound healing. So my work was really just sound healings, meditation, and teaching yoga. And then when the pandemic happened and I wasn't able to do those things anymore, I found myself pregnant and reevaluating everything that I had done and knew. And at the same time, had entered a year-long Ayurveda program. So I was starting to study Ayurvedic medicine and realized at the end of that year, as I was 8 months pregnant, 9 months pregnant, that I really wanted to focus my efforts on maternal health, but I didn't know how yet. So I paused everything and moved forward through like the first 4 months, 3 months in my postpartum period. I realized through my own birth experience that my work really was centered around honoring these rites of passage. So I found my way here through a bit of a tumultuous river, but I'm happy in the river. Mm-hmm. The river is cleansing and healing, and I invite others into the river with me now. And it's a beautiful place.
So, 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 so beautiful. And I love hearing that because, you know, women, I mean, all of us humans, it's part of our hero's journey is, you know, at some point we do have to go through those trying times, you know, walking through the valley, and some to a greater degree, some to a less degree, but seeing the gifts and what we can learn and what we can then expand ourselves into because of it, not, you know, not in spite of it, but because of it, is such a beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing that. I love stories of that kind of hope. I just want to rewind for a second here, by the way. You mentioned at the beginning of that whole idea that you were in LA and were working in acting. And I just want to put it out there to all the listeners. If you didn't know, Kristen was on the final season of Mad Men alongside John Hamm. So we need to talk about that for just a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Because my partner and I are actually revisiting. He had never seen Mad Men. So we have been on the nights where we just want really something fun to watch. We've been putting that on, and I think we're on season 3 right now. So I even, you got to tell me a little bit about that. How was that working with the handsome John Hamm?
It was incredible. It was, well, and you'll appreciate this. When I was living in Oklahoma before I moved out here, I started watching the show. And I was like, I need to be on the show. This is what I want to do. This is the show I want to be on. And it was the catalyst that really brought me to LA. And then I worked for years and years and years, as you know, with your background in TV, film. It takes a long time to build credibility. It takes a long time to get your feet wet. But ironically, it was the first TV show that I ever booked. So to be able to walk, to like have that and, you know, not to walk away with that, because I'm still involved in some capacity, but for that to be my first project, it was incredible. The show, the caliber of people working on the show it's the epitome of success and the epitome of professionalism. There's a reason they won so many awards. Matthew Weiner is so incredibly talented. Every single person on set treated me like I was the equivalent to John Hamm. I mean, that just speaks to the level of professionalism and how much everybody loved their job. So it was incredible. John's a really nice guy. He was a very, very, like, very friendly, but very, very professional. Like, he had his boundaries, which I totally respected. He kept his space. And then when it came time for us to be working together, he was just right there. It was really great to learn from him and to be in those scenes. And, you know, they're very fun scenes. So when you get there, I'm happy to revisit, and gossip with you. It was a really great time. And yeah, I'm so grateful for that experience.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited now. I'm going to like skip all the seasons. I mean, I've seen a lot of the seasons. I haven't seen the last one, so I'm excited. Now I'm going to have to skip ahead and just see see it. And I'll send you an Instagram message and be like, oh my God.
I won't tell you anything more. Just, when you get there, enjoy.
So fun. And I mean, and the big reason why I wanted to bring that up is because this is this is just another example of how powerful intention is. You know, like, you set your intention, I want to work on that show, and you made it happen. Yeah. So that runs such parallels into your life, I'm sure, in your ability to have created this, you know, a reinvention of yourself once again, you know, and I feel like you have, much like myself, done it over and over and over again in life, while still weaving in all that you've learned from all of these different versions of yourself, which is very much what we need to do as we are making this transition from maiden to mother, right? There's letting go, and then there's integrating. There's a little bit of all of that that comes into play. Now, you had said earlier on in our conversation, when we were talking about the birth portal, the importance of, you know, really showing this to the community and showing up in the community with, you know, after you pass through this rite of passage. And I love that, because it really got me thinking about the holistic stages of labor, and how one of the final stages is this idea of weaving the story, you know, having the birthing person speak to their experience, and continually days, weeks, months, years after the birth, to continue weaving that story for themselves, sharing it, communicating it, as part of the process, still as part of the healing process in this birth portal ceremony, which I think was the original thing that I reached out to you about to hear more about. Sounds like such an exquisite experience that I think every mother should have to experience. So could you tell us a little bit more about what that looks like?
Yeah. And I agree with you 100%. When I talk to people about this, this is not, it feels like this should be this and pelvic floor therapy should just be things that you do.
Yes. Part of.
They're not negotiables. You need to do this because the birth experience is so potent and so profound in the landscape of this transition maiden to mother that you can't, I don't think you can fully embody your role as a mother without reflecting on this incredibly intense period where you truly, you birthed your baby, but you birthed yourself. Like, and when we, I do this in a circle, but I also do it in private ceremony one-on-one with clients. Part of the birth portal closing circle or ceremony is actually reflecting on the moment you think you were born. There's always like a moment or a collection of moments that maybe added up to that. And some, for some mamas, it can be the darkest moment. It can be the most intense. It can be the moment where they were like, I am absolutely done. And then they decided to go, get back in and go. And you can feel it when you talk to her and she retells this story. You can hear in her voice, there's a break or there's like a quiver. There's a moment where you can feel the potency of that experience just infused into her voice. And it's the moment she was born where she like gathered herself back up off the floor of whatever energetic place she was crawling on. And she pushed through. And it's to be able to witness it is one of the most, I mean, it's truly a privilege and an honor to be able to do this and witness mamas in this, in these circles and the ceremonies. But it's really about giving language to your felt experience. It's instead of internalizing it and letting it live and bounce around like a pinball machine inside of you, it is opening up Vishuddha, your throat chakra, and letting that story like a lioness, like roar it out into reality so that people have to hear it. They know what you surmounted in order to bring your baby to earth. And every mother deserves it. That's why I say it's non-negotiable. Every mother deserves to have her story heard aloud on paper, reflected internally. Like we need each of those anchor points in order for us to truly be able to integrate it and weave it into our DNA in a healing way.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I do with this podcast is one thing, you know, I talk about all of these things. I have amazing women that come on here and talk about their birth experiences. And I have women that come on and tell their real birth stories who reach out weeks, months later saying, I had no idea how therapeutic it was going to be to talk about, to just talk about my experience. And I think, yeah, this is, you know, one great medium, but the intimacy that I think the space that you create in these ceremonies, I can't even imagine how palpable that healing is for these women. And gosh, wow. I'm so in such gratitude for you for creating this for women. And I'm hoping that we can get this out there to people that this is something that is an option, you know, because I don't know about you, but I feel like still women, so many women think that, you know, you have the baby and that's it. Now you have the baby and that's the focus is on the baby. Forget about the mom. And if you're anything like me, all of a sudden you get pregnant again and you're like, holy crap, I didn't heal from my last birth yet. Right. Is that what you see a lot of with people coming through to work with you?
Yeah. So this last circle that I had two mamas that were second time mothers and one of them ended with a C-section unexpectedly. And the other one was a home birth. It's so beautiful too in circles to be able to have each of the women share and also receive other people's stories that are different from theirs and see the commonality, but also the difference that we each have our own unique experience. When mothers come through for the second time, always the shared experience is, I wish I had had this with my first. Like they even bring in their babies a lot of times. Like the experience of the first, even though they're talking about the second birth, there's a part of them I think that like draws the energy in from the first birth and is able to heal in a circular way. But yes, there is always that feeling of like, I wish I'd had this with my first. Like I didn't realize how much I deserved this and how much I needed this and how much how healing this felt to be able to, for some, it's healing because there's some trauma that they are working through. And for others, it's a celebration. And then for others, it's some mix of those two in a really beautiful way. So it's truly for everybody. It's not just, you know, you had something scary happen and you're working through that, but it's just a way to honor your experience, whether it in hindsight felt positive or negative. The goal is for you to, at the end of it, to reflect on your birth in a way that makes you feel so unbelievably powerful and sovereign over your body, even if you didn't get to make the choices you wanted to make. Yeah. Like through exercises and journaling things, I've been very specific about how I construct these. The things that I walk you through are meant to give you your power back in the moments you felt like you didn't have it, as well as to honor and celebrate the moments where you were the badass, if I may say that, mm-hmm. who like took the reins and was like, I'm going to stop pushing for a second, or I need silence, or I don't need that, like to be able to really speak your needs. So,
yeah. And I mean, this is so important. Like a big part of what I do with my clients that I'm coaching, I coach a lot of people that are trying to get pregnant and people that are pregnant and, you know, helping empower them so that they can really have the advocacy for themselves through the whole pregnancy process and through the birth process. Right. Which, you know, I, from my personal experience, I did not do enough prep to have my first child. I had no idea what to do, what to expect when I went into birth, and I got walked all over. And so my part in this process is to really help people feel empowered as they step towards that birth portal. And I love that you're catching everyone on the other side, and especially those that maybe did not have the guidance and the support moving into the portal, so that as they're walking through this rite of passage, they're being caught, because most people aren't getting the support on either side. Right. But if we can at least do 50-50, and it's such a, like, God, it's so, so important. I can't even, like, I think I have right on my website, you know, like I'm doing this now for other women, because I didn't have it. I didn't have the support going in. I did not have the support coming out. And I'm, you know, what you're doing is just, it's so, so, so brilliant.
And it's the, what you said about you didn't have it. That was how this was born out of my own birth experience, which was a beautiful home birth. But I cried the saddest tears after my birth because of one specific thing that, and had I not had the tools to process it myself in the way that I'm offering to mamas now, I don't know what I would be doing. I don't know who I would be right now. I don't know what kind of mama I would be, genuinely, the shape I would be in, because my birth was perfect. No tears, home birth, middle of the night, beautiful. But I had an emotional experience that was internalized that no one saw. Everyone was like, it was so beautiful and powerful. Mm-hmm. And I'm sobbing because I made sounds that I didn't expect to make. Mm. But that was my own healing. And that was the golden nugget that I got to walk away with, was, oh, well, I wasn't meant to moan softly like Venus or, you know, Lakshmi. I was meant to be Durga and be roaring and primal. And I embodied that, but I felt shame afterwards. And then walking through that and realizing that shame wasn't mine. Mm. That's the power I found afterward as a mother. And it has informed the way I mother now, from this fierce place of tenderness.
So beautiful. So beautiful. Now you have referred to a few deities, goddesses from that may seem unfamiliar to some people that are listening. And so I would love to take a little detour from our conversation about the birth portal to talk a little bit more about Eastern medicine, Ayurveda, and all of the other amazing things that you, through your study as an Ayurvedic practitioner, right, or counselor,
my second year, I will be an Ayurvedic counselor. And then that's the number of hours there a year actually part of the Association for Practitioners. So yeah.
Amazing. But you have dove deep into that and you're now utilizing that as part of one of your offerings, supporting people through all four trimesters, correct?
Yes. Yeah. 0 to 4.
Yeah. And what does that look like for anyone out there? I think I've spoke about Arivera on the show here before, but let's talk a little bit about that and how it is especially supportive to, you know, expecting and early postpartum mamas.
I think the easiest way to boiling down isn't the exact word, like a reduction, something sexier. The easiest way to look at it is, because I could talk about herbs, I could talk about doshas and all of those things that are higher level, and we can definitely. But the easiest thing especially here in Western society where people are a little less familiar with it, the easiest way to describe it is that I am looking at you as a whole person through the Ayurvedic lens, which means you are a spiritual being in a physical body with a mind. So we're not just addressing any physiological imbalances. We're also addressing mental, emotional, and spiritual. So it's all of that combined. And the easiest way to do that is through balancing your elemental self, which is how we get into the doshas. So when we look at, let's say someone comes to me in preconception and is struggling with endometriosis. So we look at that. Yes, it is a physiological imbalance that is probably being addressed by doctors already. But my support in that is it can be herbal, it can be lifestyle, it can be mental and emotional. But if we just take a step back and we look at, we're not trying to fix something. We're actually trying to balance something. And I think that reframe is so powerful because the energy of fix can be, I don't know, especially if you got a lot of pizza where you're like, you're a perfectionist and you're that type A that wants to fix something. Sitting back for a moment and taking the view of how can I balance this? If something is too abundant here, and I know your listeners can't see me, but like imagine scales, right? And we're trying to find the balance in the scales. If I know I have a lot of vata present and that's pushing kapha, which is extra growth of tissues in the endometrial lining, then we're not just addressing the kapha, we're going to address the vata. Vata can also show up as, from an energetic standpoint, it's that frenetic air ether element. So anything we want to do to like bring that energy down, it might mean that you turn off your TV while you're eating your meals. It might mean you're drinking a certain kind of tea as opposed to coffee, which is a stimulant. So when I'm working with somebody, we're looking at balancing the energies, and then that informs food and medicine and sleep. And all the various things that come along with that, it just makes it a little bit more approachable to think we're not trying to get into anything heavy. We're just taking this bird's eye view of where are the energies not balanced. And then that informs where we dig in a little deeper.
Yeah. And what I love about Ayurveda is it is so highly individualized based on people's, you know, their makeup. And there are a lot of one size fits all approaches when it comes to fertility, when it comes to the best way to take care of your body in pregnancy and the best way to look at ourselves postpartum. And I love that Ayurveda really addresses where people are, what they were born into and how their lifestyle has taken them out of balance. Right. And I'm sure birth is like, I mean, I'm sure if you looked at someone pre-birth and post-birth, everything is probably completely out of whack, right?
that's actually really fascinating. And it's something I haven't dived into just yet. As I've started somatic classes and training and specifically with birth stories and how our births affect us, which is where my somatic experience is focused. I have not applied the Ayurvedic lens yet of, we know Prakriti, which is what the constitution we're born with, so you might assume that like at birth, you are a specific balance of those three doshas, but birth itself can move you toward what we call your Vikriti, which is what doshas are actually imbalanced. So you make a really interesting point of well, how does our birth story affect us and our own constitution from that very moment where we in the world? Are we entering in water? Are we entering in air? Are we entering in cold? I mean,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So we're going to need to have another whole episode talking about all of this. And we're going to need to have a whole other episode to talk about, you know, another topic that I love to speak about and one that I work with a lot of people on is, you know, parenting, and how you've weaved all of this, your learning and what you're doing in the world into your role as a mother and taking care of your wee one and, you know, working with secure attachment and, oh, good grief. We could spend another two full episodes here. But I wanted to bring that up so that people know that this is all stuff that you cover and that you are posting about. You are so active on social media. And I always love seeing your posts. They're always so thoughtful and thought provoking. So to wrap things up today, even though I want to keep talking, can you let the listeners know where they can find you?
Yes. So I have a website, which is a great place to see the ceremonies themselves, my offerings. If you click book an offering on my site, you can also see pricing. It's very transparent. That is Kirsten B. Ford. It's spelled KirstinBford.com. And it's the same spelling for my Instagram handle as well. And like you said, I am super active on there. I'm posting my stories, get a little more personal with my baby and my dogs and my family. But I'm constantly posting about herbalism and conscious parenting. I kind of weave, as you said earlier, I'm very similar to you in that I weave a lot of conscious living principles into my life and then share with you guys what I've found. I love to think of myself as a distiller. So I take high concepts and distill them down into like these little bites that are so juicy and so yummy and so easy to digest so that you can start to apply them to your life.
Amazing. So make sure everyone follows you, checks you out. I'm going to put obviously links to all of that in the show notes. So exciting to have you on the show, Kirsten. I'll be reaching out to have some of my own ceremonial experiences. You, as at the time of recording, I am 29 weeks pregnant and about to move through some massive transitions once again.
Beautiful. I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much for having me. It really has been an honor, and you're like beaming, which just absorbing all of your light. So thank you.
Oh, I'm just reflecting yours right back from you, sister.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please follow the show over on Instagram at FertileAt40Podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more info on today's show, please head on over to the podcast website at meganpearson.ca/podcast. Until next time.